Both of those requested plus ups would go beyond the defense spending limits lawmakers agreed to in the Ryan-Murray budget agreement last December. For 2015, the figure is DOD's share of the Opportunity, Security, and Growth Initiative the Obama administration has proposed as a mechanism to bypass the budget caps. The White House says it'll release full details next week on offsetting spending reductions to pay for the package, but officials have not yet said where the money would come from in 2016 through 2019. But Congressman Buck McKeon, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, himself a staunch advocate for robust defense budgets, says it's time to come to grips with the fact that Congress is not inclined to agree to any additional discretionary spending.
We're basically going to have the number that was agreed to earlier and signed into law. So I'm really not paying much attention to the 115, and I'm not paying much attention to that 58, because I think that's in the realm of it would be wonderful, but it's not going to happen. And so I think we really have to live within right now something that I hate, and I'm sure you do, and I think most of the members of the committee do, but it is the law and we're stuck with it right now.
But defense officials say even though the Ryan-Murray agreement did a lot to help solve DOD's budget problems in 2014, the caps in current law over the next 5 years are simply too low. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says they'd result in an Army and Marine Corps that are too small to conduct their missions and training and equipping shortfalls across the military services.
The president's defense budget supports our defense strategy, defends this country, and keeps our commitments to our people. However, these commitments would be seriously jeopardized by a return to sequestration-level spending. My submitted testimony details how sequestration would compromise our national security. The result would be a military that could not fulfill its defense strategy, putting at risk America's traditional role as a guarantor of global security and ultimately our own security. This is not the military the president nor I want. It isn't the military that this committee or this Congress wants for America's future. But it is the path we are on, unless Congress does something to change the law.
Under the budget DOD proposed this week, the department would get $496 billion for its base budget. And even if Congress agreed to the extra $26 billion request, the final tally would still be $19 billion lower than what the Obama administration projected DOD would need for 2015 as of a year ago. If McKeon is right, and Congress is on a path to keep the spending caps in place, the department faces an additional problem. In order to make its numbers work, the Pentagon is betting that Congress will greenlight a package of $96 billion in politically difficult cost-saving measures, including health insurance reforms, weapons system cancellations, and base closures, plus another $30 billion worth of reductions in personnel spending. But as Representative Adam Smith, the ranking Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee, pointed out Thursday, Congress is very likely to reject some or most of those cutbacks.
Now, the important thing about this hearing is going to be how this body chooses to approach what you guys have already approached. You've had to make the decision. You've had to put together a budget based on that top line law of the land that's not going to change. You haven't had the luxury of the fantasy that we all have to imagine that somehow we can oppose every cut, offer no alternative cuts, and complain about the size of the budget. So, you know, you've made the decision on the A-10. You made the decision on force structure, on mothballing 11 cruisers, a lot of compensation issues, including the housing allowance, some minor savings in the commissaries, whole bunch of issues which are politically unpopular. And I hope, though I doubt this will be the case, we don't just beat you up over every isolated one of those decisions. I hope that if we say we don't like this decision, we will say, well, here's what I would have done differently. Here's a cut that I would have made that would put the force in a better place. Because I do not expect this body to simply rubber stamp what you offered us. Not our job. We're supposed to exercise oversight. If we disagree, we'll make some changes. We had the whole Block 30 U2 thing. And we disagreed. Now we're moving into it. That's fine. But to simply say the administration is fecklessly cutting the budget and not offer an alternative is really going to spin us into the ground.
Smith asked DOD officials to imagine a scenario in which Congress rejected at least $10 billion worth of the department's own proposed spending reductions. The response from Joint Chiefs Chairman Martin Dempsey.
So if you were to whack out $10 billion, you could get a sense, I think, for where we would have to go to find that. So here's just some examples. On the modernization side, $1 billion buys 10 Joint Strike Fighters. That's an example. Or two littoral combat ships, or five P-8s, 980 precision-guided munitions. And on the readiness side, $1 billion pays for 12 F-16 squadrons to maintain readiness for a year, or three Army Brigade combat teams readiness for a year. So we can tell you with some clarity, not some clarity, with great clarity, what we would have to do if we don't, if you don't accept our recommendations, and then it would, you know, you'll have to decide whether that that is a even greater cost than the ones that we are proposing.
Dempsey's answer was in tune with the message Pentagon officials have been trying to deliver about their proposed cutbacks all week. Yes, they would result in slightly less generous benefits than troops and their families get right now, but the department has responsibilities to service members that go beyond making sure they're well paid, including finding money to make sure they're ready for battle. Asked whether the training cutbacks the military has already seen have put troops in greater danger than necessary, Dempsey answered in a single word, yes.
It has forced us to make some bad investment decisions because we haven't had certainty, time, or flexibility to do otherwise. And it has put us in a position where we've had to raid, let me use another word, rob our readiness accounts in order to get the money we need to reduce, you know, to find where we can reduce it, because we don't have access to the other places in a near term.
And the impact of robbing those readiness accounts is what?
Is that we are far less ready than we should be for the world that we confront.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.